This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
This is what we want to spend our lives doing, serving the will of God joyfully. Not setting up a platform for personal gain, but really fulfilling ministry that God will be pleased about. Hallelujah. We want to spend a moment in just giving God thanks for grace. It's not of Him that willeth, it's not of Him that runs. It is of God that shows mercy. If He never made the grace available, it would not be possible today. So can we spend a moment giving Him praise, giving Him thanks, exalting His name, magnifying Him. Can we be deliberate about giving Him praise? Thank you, Lord.
We give You all the
and give Him praise. Just, it's been 7 years. 7 years of the mercy of God. 7 years of the grace of God. Of the help of the Holy Spirit. Give Him praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We are careful to bring you worship, to bring you praise, to bring you honor. We never thought it would be like this. We just set up an intercessory platform to minister to the city of Lagos. And here we are. Oh, we worship your name. We magnify your name. Be glorified. Be exalted. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we thank you. You are the center of what we see today. But it's not because we're smart. It's just because your mercy was renewed over us day after day to give us the strength to come against the distractions of the enemy, to come against the storms that were kindled around us, with which the devil was determined to derail us. Your mercy was the fire that was renewed in itself day after day to give us the strength to push, the strength to stand. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I don't know the intention of the people that set this up. Who is behind this? Now, I'm seeing things like rocket and... So please help us. What was this?
Praise God. It's called a castle cake. And the idea behind it is that we know we are in a season of transition, and we are moving into the building phase. So that's the idea behind the castle cake. And it has 7 towers. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise God. So we'd like to invite the entire pastorate of RCN Lagos, Mama, Minister Theophilus, Reverend Odame, Prophet Tiffany, Pastor Pascal, Pastor Ify, Pastor Danjiva, our very Philip B, Pastor Philip B. Praise God. Who else? Okay, all RCN Lagos pastors, please let's come to this stage. Oh, the fire. There's fireworks. Okay. Uncle K, we need help here. Where is he? Okay, they should. Please let's arrange ourselves. Sir? I will be there. Please let's arrange ourselves.
Sister Ruth. is running out. Praise the Lord. So we are going to proceed to the cutting of the cake, and we'll be spelling grace as we cut the cake. So are we ready? Can we put your hands on the cake, everybody? Or put your hands on your partner beside you? Yes, thank you. So everyone, are we ready? Can you give me a G? A big R, a powerful C, and an excellent E. That spells grace. Hallelujah. Happy 7th anniversary.
Department and prayer cell leaders, please join us on stage quickly. All introduces and prayer cell leaders, heads of department, quickly.
Received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. This scripture gives us an insight into the kind of operations that our apostolic ancestors were involved in. They had a four-point agenda. Hallelujah. And you find some very powerful words in their story. The first powerful word that you find is continued. When you are given a spiritual thing, or you have a spiritual deposit that God has committed into your hand for you to tend, spiritual things are very powerful. But if you don't tend them properly, you are not likely to realize their full potential. You know, I was listening, we were in the holdup of Lagos. So we had to connect to the meeting through the internet. So we were listening to what was going on here. And someone was asking a question about, I've been praying, I've been doing stuff, and nothing has changed. See, the reason why the person is seeking out instant manifestations is because the person doesn't understand how to deal with spiritual capital. The idea behind tending spiritual capital and maintaining spiritual capital is not, first of all, about performance. It's first of all about how much God intends to change your life. And these protocols and processes have been designed to ensure that the spiritual capital that you have received changes you, first of all. So God's goal is that you are changed from becoming a slave of the fall and truly functioning as the new creation that you are in Christ Jesus. So what he does is that he domiciles you in the process. A process that you do not have authority to change. A process that will yield only if you are faithful to tending it perpetually. And that's why the first power word we find in that arrangement is continued. Are you still with me? If you have not yet, if you are in this room and you have not yet paid your tithe for 10 years, you don't know the power of tithing, because you never continued sufficiently enough for you to see the wisdom that God had for which he prescribed that line of response. If you are in this room and you have not prayed consistently and been in prayer meetings that will stretch you beyond what you will naturally like, and you have not done that for 10 years, you don't know the power of prayer, and you have not built the capacity that is needed for you to be able to call on several abilities that will be formed in your life on the account of consistency. In dealing and tending spiritual capital, wise men that have worked with God have given us a scale of measurement. And I've heard this scale of measurement being presented by many a wise man that walked in the ways of the Lord. And the benchmark that they gave in participation was 10 years. They continue. So, first of all, I'll just be talking like this. When the Holy Spirit comes, I will stop. Then I'll begin to minister to you. Those that are sick will get healed. But, are you with me? But until that weight of the glory of God comes in, we can even be interactive. If you are in this place and you have not labored consistently in prayer for 10 years, put your hand down. The person that asked that question about stagnation, that he is facing, is confronted with a situation of stagnation now, and he needs performance, he needs a breakthrough, things he must prove to his neighbors that he's not failing. The idea, are you with me? The idea that God has in mind is not for you to be able to prove something to someone. In fact, he knows that we all have that tendency. And the protocol that is put in place is designed to kill that tendency. So you will determine how long it will take before those manifestations
will begin to find expression. At that point where you don't have an agenda, you don't want to prove anything to anybody. You are just alone with God, stuck with God. And even if God refuses to do the things that he does for other people in your own life, you love him all the same. That's where he wants to bring you. The Bible says that they continued. If you are going to continue in something consistently, you must have a reason to stay on course. Many of us see Jesus as a money doubler, as a God that goes around Lagos looking for husbands for people. A God that is. He's in the traffic. He's in Surulere, seeking out husbands and lining up men because he's owing you something. We come to God with all kinds of perspectives. And the Bible says, he that cometh to God, even though you came from the left route or the right route, just come. You come with your philosophies, you come with your expectations, just come. But what happens is this, everything that you have come with, your mindset, your perspective, is going to be drowned in a protocol. As you continue, your perspective will be renewed. And even though nothing physically changes in your life, you begin to see that your approach will begin to change because there are internal changes that are taking place that is renewing your mind. The entire protocol is designed to shape you, to be a kind of person that you can never ever be outside of the help of the Holy Spirit. Many of us do not know that what God wants to do is to allow the Holy Spirit brood over your life and take away all the symptoms of the fall. That's his own objective. You were looking for a car. You want to get married before December. That's not bad. Your expectation is not bad. Because the Bible reveals that God is not threatened by our expectations. In fact, it says that the expectations of the righteous shall not be cut off. Meaning our God has sufficient capacity to manage your expectations. But more importantly, he puts you on a routine. There's a word that Jonathan used while he was trying to explain. There was a word you used. Do you remember? Rituals. There is no spiritual man that doesn't have a routine, that doesn't have rituals that he performs. And we see the rituals of the apostolic community. It was tied on the ability to be consistent. Okay, now, the four-point agenda that these guys were committed to were not brilliant ideas. They were not necessarily brilliant ideas, but the power that was in them will be realized in our ability to continue. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, is it true that you continue? Or somebody might say, yes, there's this demonic thing that has held me down. We don't doubt it. Because faith does not deny the presence of mountains. To ignore mountains is not faith, it's foolishness. So we understand that indeed there is a demonic stronghold around your life. But I've come to realize that if each and every one of us will yield to the process, you might even get off that hold of darkness just by yielding to the process. The process itself has the capacity to bring out so many changes that will put Satan on the disadvantage in your life. The Bible says that they continue. God does not make available everything that you want, everything that you need in just one sweep. And that's why he puts us on course. With God, it's about the process. And anything that is going to take you away from the process has aborted your possible capacity, maximum capacity utilization. That has been aborted. That is no longer in view. If anything can take you away from the process that God has put you upon, by which he is expecting that you'll be made in the image of the kind of personality that your generation lives, they continue. I didn't know much in my work with God. But what I knew is that no one became great that did not have the capacity to continue. So when I was sad, I prayed.
When I was broke, I prayed. When I was sick, I prayed. When people deserted me, I prayed. When people manipulated me, I prayed. Is there something in your life that will never change in spite of the circumstance? If you will do it in spite of your condition, that thing will shape you. So we can now say you are a product of that process. I am a product of prayer. I will not stop praying. Somebody died, I will pray. My investment, all of my investment got lost, got swallowed up. I will pray. There is no situation that will take place around my life that will stop me from my rituals. Because the rituals that God allows us to walk in is what makes us who God wants us to be. So your situation is genuine, is valid. Your desire for a change is also valid. But God has worked out all of these things in a protocol that He put in place and is expecting us to comply. If God quickly gives you the things that you seek, you no longer seek Him. He knows that. So He puts you in a routine. He puts you in the routine, and the routine begins to erode your tendencies that is going to fight against His government over your life. He erodes it even without you knowing. And it keeps going on. And it keeps going on. Then you become stronger. Then you begin to develop inner capacities. For many of us here, if 10 million naira hits your account, you backslide. And God knows. So the people around your life that have the ability to bring you into that arena, God will always make them forget you. Because what He has in mind, yes, 10 million is good to own 10 million naira. But most of us don't have the capacity to handle it. You are likely to begin to misbehave. I've seen people before, just little money. And then they begin to misbehave. You see pride manifesting. And you don't know that you are hanging on the strand of breath that God, in His infinite mercy, has allowed you to receive. So in order for God to help some people, God needs to delay that your breakthrough. To delay it so that you focus on the process. And the process keeps gradually eroding our tendencies of rebellion. And it keeps gradually eroding it. And the moment these tendencies have been eroded, then we qualify for higher levels of the investment of the Spirit of God. And before you know it, wisdom is flowing out of your vessel. Something that you were not born with begins to happen to you. And then suddenly, God approves and recommends that you be released from the wilderness. And if you did not fulfill your time in the wilderness, you will not have the capacity to handle visibility. The things we pray for, you need capacity. You need a weight. You need an infrastructure. A very strong setup in your spirit capacity to be able to handle weights. You know, weights. The anointing itself and the glory of God is measured in weights. So doxa is weight. So if you don't have the structure to be able to manage weighty things, weightier matters, it will not be in your interest for God to test you with weight, because it will crash all the structure that you've been building. There are people in this room, it is your destiny to employ labor. But God will test you with night prayer. If you can handle night prayer, then He will expand your scope, your employment scope. And then that entrepreneur that you are supposed to be, you will have the capacity to become it and to exceed the expectations of men. What I'm talking about here is beyond your education. Thank God for education. Thank God for skills. I'm saying that fully deploying the seed of the Holy Ghost in your life is going to bring you to a place where you cannot escape relevance. You can't escape it. You can't escape it in the office. You can't escape it on the streets. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, my mom attended a conference like this where I was the main speaker. I guess it was one of my cousins that insisted that she should come, that she's not aware of what is happening, so let her. So she was somewhere in the congregation, and I was preaching and teaching, and I was talking. And in her own opinion, I was speaking high wisdom. That was her opinion, okay? High wisdom. And it came to pass somewhere along the line during my delivery that the Holy Ghost now came upon me and I began to minister by the Spirit with such ease that the people sitting around her at the back, they fell off and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And she was amazed what was really going on. And who is this man? Because she knows that what I was doing was not what she taught me. Hallelujah. You see, just walking with God, is a process. It's just like you go to medical school and after 6 years you become a medical doctor. Walking with God will make you a man that no school can make you. There is a product that you eventually become just because you stay in on the rituals. They continued steadfast. And then when we left the meeting, that was when I knew my mom was there. We met outside. She was so excited. And when we went back, she did not sleep that night. It was emotional for her. Meanwhile, this is my mom that one of her friends that was in the city where I was doing my university education told her that your son is not going to school. He's just, we meet him at barriers preaching. Strange, ungodly barrier. That's strange places that a student should never be. You will find him preaching there. So what he's doing is that he's preaching. Just in case the time comes for him to show his certificate and he doesn't have anything to show. I am telling you, he's not schooling. I came with my certificate. My mom did not trust it. But she just... Then I went for youth service and came out with the certificate. That was when she believed that I went to the university. She was not aware that there was another line of development that was at work. And I was committed to it. Now, see, the issue we are talking about here is not how intelligent you are, what you made in class. Those things are good. But they continue. There was a time when the only ability I had was the ability to teach. But as I continued, hallelujah. I was speaking to some of the brethren at the hotel yesterday. I told them, I said, I don't know myself again. Because I'm more of a prophet now. The moment we start praying, 1, 2, 3, I've moved into heaven. Meanwhile, the man that raised me said none of us should like prophetic things. That the easiest way for you to lose your integrity in ministry is to come and give a prophecy that doesn't come to pass. So let us stay with the Bible. The Bible is always working. That was how we stayed with the Bible. So even though God was bringing some prophetic things, I resisted it because my training did not accept that. Now, what God did to me was that the prophetic broke into my life. It's not as if I accepted it. And now, I'm just realizing that I cannot run away from it anymore. To me, it's new. I see things over nations. And someone will want to ask, what is the secret? The secret is, they continue. Say, you have a secret. Stay with the Holy Ghost and continue with Him. Even when it doesn't make sense. And He will plunge you into the wilderness. Everything, at some point, everything won't work. When you notice you have arrived at that place, you are close to a breakthrough spiritually. Satan will be allowed to bend your mind. And to make you feel that you are worthless. You are useless. When you see that symptom, the light is about to shine. I tell you this as a man that has been in the tunnel for more than 2 decades. I knew that I had gifting from God that can touch the world. I knew it. I knew that what I had received from God was massive. Are you with me? The hand of God in dealing with me was too heavy. He gave some people liberty to even get some ventilation. But for me, I was working with an oxygen mask. The restriction was unbelievable until I stopped fighting because his hand was too strong. And then I yielded. And when I yielded, I was expecting that, okay, maybe in a short while. The breakthrough I expected lingered. I programmed it for 7 years, that in 7 years, the Lord will cause my face to shine. And instead of my face shining in 7 years, the greatest problem of my life came. And meanwhile, the reason why I pegged it at 7 was because the last person that God used mightily in my city, the measurement of his own timing was 7 years. I called his son. I interviewed his son, interviewed everybody that knew him. And it was 7 years. So I put my heart on 7 years. And there was a scripture that I put before my face. And the remnant that I escaped out of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward. So in that permutation, I believe that the root-taking process will take 7 years. And I waited for 7 years. It was an encouragement. Anytime I found that scripture, I said, don't worry, I'm coming up. Jesus! After 7 years, the greatest attack of my life came 7 years later. I was expecting a breakthrough. What happened was a breakdown. Betrayal. The people that I spent part of my life for. They gave me an uppercut. May you, hallelujah. If God wants to help you, that's what happens. He makes the people that are close to you, that you are depending on, give you an uppercut. So that you will know that it is not so wise to put your trust in man. It was difficult for me to continue after the uppercut. But you know what? I had gone too far. I had gone too far, and I would be foolish if I claimed that I did not believe in the process that God had domiciled me. And when I prayed and I sought answers, none came. It was darkness. I don't know if I'm speaking to somebody. You sought for answers. But what you saw was darkness. You sought for light, but it was gross darkness that you saw. That means Satan has been allowed to achieve his mind-bending project to make you trivialize the rituals. That was when I began to follow God without a mathematical formula. I began to follow God without an estimate of how long it would take. I was totally yielded and my understanding was unfruitful. It is not a good place for the flesh to be. But I had no choice. That was where I stayed. Then I discovered that my calculations were wrong, just like Abraham's calculations were wrong. Abraham thought that, okay, sorry. Yeah, Abraham's calculations were wrong. He said, Lot is there, he's righteous. Lot's wife is there. That's how many? 2. Lot has 2 daughters that were not married. How many is that? 4. Huh? Are we going? Then he had 2 daughters that were married. So if you count them and count their husbands, how many do you have? 8. And maybe in all the time that they labored in that land, they got 2 converts. They say Lot is better than that. At least he must have won 2 people. His calculations were wrong. Are you still with me? If he knew his calculations were wrong, he would have reframed and refocused his negotiation. My calculations were wrong. And your calculations are also wrong. And that brother that asked, I'm stagnated. Your calculations are wrong. The reason why you are accessing the situation is because you had an expectation and a time frame. When you deal with a spirit, you must trust the lordship of that spirit enough to set the times. I was wrong.
And it took a lot of help from God for me to be able to bounce back and to continue the process again, quite humbling. But you know what? The soul of every mortal man needs to be humbled in order for us to be able to understand the excellency of knowledge that is found in Christ Jesus. Looking back now, I discovered that it was 7 times 2. The timing that was measured for me by the elders in the heavenlies was 14 years. I'm not saying I gave my life to Christ 14 years ago. I'm not even saying I became a preacher 14 years ago. There is, are you there? I have functioned as an intercessor for 28 years. So what I'm saying is, there is a part from whence I understood all the rituals that will support my destiny. Right? And I began to walk in the light of these rituals. You know, most people don't like preaching when it involves process. They like prophesying that next week something is going to happen to you. And I came to tell you that the last time someone preached like that, the person was blind. It was Isaac. And he prophesied to the wrong person. He released blessings on the wrong man. So our level of compliance has gone beyond that blindness. Because Jesus does not give false hope. If Jesus tells you next week something will happen, next week something will happen. If nothing happened, it means Jesus did not say it. A crafty man has found a way of helping you psychologically. And I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want to be a liar. I didn't want to be a man that was cajoling people. I wanted to know God in truth and how God works. And I wanted to give my life as a seed so that I can realize these things in truth. Because I've read books. I've tried stuff. You don't know how many books I've read, man. I found out that the formulas don't work. I found out that the equations were just things that came out of the figments of human imagination. But all work with God will require that each and every one of us continues day continues. That's when you realize that it takes a lot of strength for you to stay doing the same things again and again. If God doesn't sow into your life the seed of strength, you will find out that is you know what to do, but you don't have the ability to do it. The Bible says they continued. If you are going to continue, you are not going to be lenient on your flesh. Lenient on how you feel. If you know it's a ritual, it's superior to your feeling. The Bible says that they continue. When I no longer had the time frame in my expectation, then I began to enjoy the process. Then I began to realize what God was teaching. At that time, He had conquered me. God will never strengthen any man that He has not conquered. You come to Him with your agenda, with your prayer points, with your list, and with your need to prove to your family members that even though you quarrel with them, you were on the right, and God is going to prove it. He will make you silent in the tunnel, and He will not give you light. Your mind, your understanding will be unfruitful, and Satan will begin to whisper to you. Continue. The same way Jesus was in the grave, that's how you're going to be. There's no voice speaking. The only voice you can hear is darkness. And you're going to be in that state for some time until you realize that even darkness has a Lord that it must submit to. Because when light comes, darkness has no choice but to fade away. Just like resurrection, God is going to call your name out of the tomb of that process. When the weight of the process has drowned any tendency of the fall that Satan can exploit, when it has drowned it, your name will be mentioned. And by the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will begin to raise you out as one of the saviors that is coming from Zion. I know this process. I've survived some cycles, and we're about to start another one again. But the power that is in this process is the ability for men to what? It seems you're afraid of the word now. They did what? That's where your tendency to use people dies. Your tendency at selfishness dies. You become a true coach, a true discipler. And your vision and your purpose is to reveal Christ and to point him so much and so frequently that all eyes will look upon him. If you have not gone through that tunnel and you are given a platform like this, you will enslave people because of the tendency of your flesh. You will not be a blessing. Many people 10 years down the road will curse you and feel that life would have been better for them if they never met you. So a man that has not gone through the process where he survives and is resurrected by the grace of God can never truly be a blessing to the people of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Then you will know the cross and its authority to put to death everything that doesn't work by the principle of the life of God. It's a very slow process. But the best of God's captains, he subjects them to this kind of process so that they can represent his interests. Sometimes your childbearing can be delayed. And even though we pray under the anointing and you can feel the vibration, but you see, there is an authority that is beyond that anointing that is responsible for the supposed lack of manifestation. It is God attempting to bring you through a process, and he is determined that nothing will change the outlook. You must go through the process because he knows what you are. He knows the tendencies that you have, and is not willing to give you any form of rest now, because if you find that rest, he will never be your Lord forever. So he can delay even your breakthrough. And that's why, even though we have been preaching breakthrough for the past 25 years, in some quarters it's breakdown that finds expression. And it's not because you are under his spell. It is because God will not permit your release, because there is too much of the fall still active in your membrane. They continue. So what was obtainable here was people yielding to a system that had more authority than their choices. When that is how you relate with prayer, you will become a man that is made by prayer. If that is how you relate with God, with his word, you become a man that is made by the word of God, and you become wise through the scriptures. So many people are coming to church, but they are not becoming anything. But the promise that Jesus gave is that if you follow me, I will make you. But people are not being made today because they have found other ways to circumvent the four-point agenda of our ancestors. It was through doctrine, through prayer, through fellowship, participation, and koinonia among the brethren, that God was able to administer healing to the souls of them that were hurting. He was able to strengthen them that were weak and point them perpetually to Christ as the objective and the goal of our pursuit. Because our faith in Christianity is in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Satan will attempt to bend your mind and to take you outside of that range. The reason why the process takes longer than necessary in the lives of so many people is because they veer off. All right, give me Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, stay there, stay there. Are you there? Normally, when Satan wants to bend your mind, because he does that to us a lot. When he wants to bend your mind, what he does is that he makes your perspective microscopic. And all you see is yourself. The fact that the finances are delaying. The fact that the miracle is delaying. The fact that the marriage is delaying. And it's yourself that you see. When God wants to deliver you, he makes your vision telescopic. So beyond yourself, you can see also the cloud of witnesses. People that have passed the same route that you are taking now, and they have successfully survived it. And they are standing in the grandstands as evidence that there is grace in God to survive the process. Those ones will judge us. If we find more reasons to believe in the devil's lies than more reasons to find strength from the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That means we're in a situation where our excuses will not mean too much. Then he gives us a prescription on how to survive. He said, we must deal with the issue of sin. Because sin is going to become a weight that is going to influence how much time it will take for you to reach the finish line. And in some cases, it even forbids you from reaching the line. So a good, if you check the race that we're talking about here, it's a race that we run with patience. So this is not sprint. This is marathon. And I can tell you a little, a thing or two about marathon, because that was the race I ran in secondary school. I'm not good on sprint, but I will not stop. Yeah. I know how to manipulate my breath and leave some ounce of strength in my vessel that I will use to defeat you at the finish line. It's not your ability to run that makes it. It's your ability to endure. I know you don't like that word. Endurance. What you want is to name and claim. You want to take a flight in the Holy Ghost. But the things that make men are not quick. The things that make men require a process. And you must yield to the process if you are going to become God's man. I tell you the truth. I prayed before and I expected an explosion in heaven. An explosion that was occasioned by my prayer, because I knew I struck the chord. I was expecting a sound of an abundance of rain. And then there was quietness for 6 months. Now, I wanted to understand prayer. I was a researcher, just like the preacher in the book of Songs of Solomon. There were so many things he wanted to understand. He didn't have confidence in the teachers of his time. So he wanted to experience it so that he can talk about it. You know, you've heard me say that as astronauts explore space, that's how we are called to explore God. I wanted to know God for myself so that when I tell you about God, what I'll be saying will be true. I don't want to manipulate anybody. That's not the legacy I want to leave behind. A lot of people don't understand the responsibility that we have when we are given the privilege to be able to shape a generation. It's a huge responsibility that takes sleep out of our eyes many nights. A calling is not lucrative. That's why he calls you, because you will not use it. So he calls you. You know, well, the Lord will help us. Till today, we still cross equipment on ferries to the other side so that we can go preach, set up crusades. We still use ferry. So if you put me in your Range Rover, I don't desire it. To me, it's a means of transportation, just like the ferry. There's no glory in it. There's nothing that my soul desires in it. Oh, you say I'm flying first class. If I fly economy, we'll arrive at the same place. If you admit me to first class, I will not turn it down. I stretch myself, and you think that's all I know how to comfort. If you go through the process, you will know how to abase and to abound. You don't have a code. You just serve His will. In any shape that it comes, you are adequately funded to serve His will. Fully funded. It's a scene. So He's introducing us to telescopic vision. That we are encompassed about with such a great cloud witnesses. Then He recommends that we should deal with the issue of sin, especially those sins that easily trap us. So Satan, he knows the possibilities that abound on the other side of your race. So he has checked you by checking people that came through your bloodline. So he knows the weaknesses that thrive among the people from your family. So he will still use the same. He's a mighty researcher. Satan, he researches. You can call him a thief, a liar, a murderer, but never call him a fool. I heard a pastor one day call Satan a fool. In 3 years' time, Satan messed him up in that same city. And I was witness when he preached. And I was also witness when Satan shaved him. May the Lord give you understanding. Jesus never called him a fool. Never. Because he's not. He's worked with men for so long. And the fallen nature of humankind is actually his nature. That thing we call sin is the serpentine nature that he infused into us. That's the venom. That's the effect of the venom he released into us. That's the reason why you lost. He put some corruption in your body. So that anything you become, he's hoping that you will have a harvest. You don't know this guy that we're talking about. As you are there on the platform, moving with fire, he says, one day something will germinate. He's hopeful that he will rejoice on your life. He said, if you know this, you will lay aside every weight. And every sin that so easily entangles us, so that you can be light enough to do an endurance race. A race which is not a sprint, but a race that you win because you have the capacity to endure. And the thing about the race is not the race. The thing about the race are the things that you are going to learn because you refuse to stop running. Then in verse 2, he teaches us how to run. He said, looking unto Jesus. The way it is written in Greek is looking away unto Jesus. First of all, you must perfect how to look away. For many of us sisters in this place, it was your friend's wedding that became your distraction. And suddenly you began to pity yourself. Just because you didn't have the strength to look away. I know you won't say amen throughout my presentation. But so now, so that I will not be the only one you are looking at, preach to your neighbor and say, look away. Look away then unto. The moment you hit the track, Satan will begin to advertise his products. Oh my God, you are not. Well, you know, you are advanced in the things of God, so he doesn't come to you again. It's only us that he comes to. I finished working miracles in London. And they were taking me to my hotel. They brought me back in a Range Rover. And I didn't know that there was a white lady there that was observing all the cars that they used to bring me. Blue Range Rover, blue, navy blue. And when I come out, they are trying to help me, trying to carry my things. So the third time, when I was entering the lift, she ran into the lift. And because in every foreign land I go, I don't move around alone. I'm going with somebody. You don't want to come with me? Come. So our pastor was there. Our pastor was in the lift with me. And the lady put her hand there and said, "You are stressed. You are stressed." Our pastor was there. "The stress is much." Then she told me about her educational background. Just on that trip from first to fourth floor, I'd known what she read in her undergraduate, the two master's degrees that she has, the job she's working on now, and what she's hoping that she'll be able to achieve in the next educational season. And she now told me again that, surprisingly, she's also on floor four. Most of you are not aware that Satan went for training. You know? You now discover that the ability to look away, you need a stronger strength to look away than to look unto Jesus. Meanwhile, I've seen, that was not the first time I saw that. So I'm used to that. The way the devil wants to haunt me with immorality, I'm not sure there's anybody in this hall he hunts like that. This me that people are afraid of. There are some people that are not afraid of. In fact, it's me there. And she says she knows how to manipulate the nerves too. Ika sola maike ube mali atamo. Looking away unto Jesus. You need strength to do that. Strength. If I tell you stories along this line, most of you will be discouraged. That's the reason why I will not add another one. And mostly it is when I preached and we scattered something. Hey! I'm still raging with the fire. Then you... look away. Look away. Because that is a test for your love for Jesus. I normally say in my heart when I'm in that condition, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Who do you choose? Your choice will be put to test the moment Satan comes with his products. And he's a very, very established marketer. He knows the tune, the rhythm of the reins of your heart. And he will bring a product that is consistent with that frequency. How many of you have a Samsung television? Samsung. If I bring an LG remote control, it is not compatible with your Samsung television. So what the devil does is he begins to array products. He doesn't know which one is compatible until he finds one that your heart. Then the moment he gets that one, he can use his remote control to change your channel. And I've seen him change the channel of so many preachers. Hallelujah. Just change your channel a little. Everything you are doing because of money. Continue until you reach old age. That's when you will find out that you lost your path. The key to greatness is in a pathway that he has domiciled us. And the power of greatness is the ability to continue.
I didn't talk to the lady. When she finished and I reached my floor, I was silent. Because I knew that the strength with which I would defeat that assault was not in my ability. It was in the pot of grace that was sitting inside of me. I told God my own desire that I choose you. Instantly, the grace to ignore the lady came on my soul. So I ignored her. And we walked away. The next meeting I entered, I've never moved in the Holy Ghost that like that. That victory that I won led to God could trust me with another level of anointing. That's the anointing that is troubling me now. That I'm realizing that I'm a prophet. I've not perfected it. But if I tell you the things I see, hey, I will be talking too much. So, I don't know. Are you ready to run? Is he looking unto Jesus? Then he introduced Jesus to us. He called him the author. And what? The finisher of our faith. Now, excuse me. How did he author our faith? He authored our faith through suffering. And there is no greatness that will ever manifest in your life if processes that will make you suffer don't stumble upon you. Not that you went to steal, not that you are suffering because of a bad thing that you did, but suffering because you have accepted the fact, accepted the burden to serve the Lord. That mingled with that service is an exposure to sufferings, because that is how Jesus authored our salvation. When you hear people preach that you will not suffer forever, leave that place. What they are doing is not Christianity. It's a gamble. It's a trade. It's a trade. Oh, I've never been betrayed the way I got betrayed just because I wanted to do ministry. All kinds of stuff. My soul split into two. But you know what? Even if you go and ask God, he won't even reply. He will say, I expected that you knew that this part is mingled with bitter herbs. Somebody went to a certain city, which is how many kilometers away from where I stay, and he was going to look for his cousin. He found that his cousin was in church. His cousin is one of the leaders in the church he attends. And so he traced him to church. And they were doing leaders meeting. He now entered into the premises and stayed at the back. And the pastor was talking about me. And he was lying. Jesus Christ. I said, what did I do to... Oh, that's the kind of thing you begin to say. It is normal. You don't lose your sleep over that. The pastor was talking about me and lying to the people. What was the point? They asked the pastor, you were close to this man before. How come you are no longer? Then he cooked up a long story and began to tell them. So the guy that came to look for his brother now contacted him and said, he just entered here. See this, what this person is saying. The part is like that. And like I said, if you want everybody to like you on the street, sell ice cream. Looking on to Jesus. Looking away so that you can look to Jesus. The author and the finisher of our faith. Oh! I attended home cell, one home cell in Abuja. And I saw a crippled lady there. So they preached, finished the things that they normally do. And then they gave me the microphone to end with a brief prayer, to end the session. And I walked up to the crippled girl. And I told her that Jesus said, rise up and walk. Obviously, she made no move. So I helped her to obey Jesus.
I raised her up. I said, Jesus said, rise up and walk. People were watching. She fell. First time. I said, no. Jesus did not say fall. Meanwhile, the Lord spoke to me and it was so loud. That was the foundation of what I was doing. All right? So I asked her again. I said, Jesus said, rise up and walk. She fell the second time. So the third time she knew she would fall. So she arranged herself behind the chair so that when she falls, she'll be falling in comfort. So I kicked the chair away and I pushed her. And then she staggered. And then she started walking. The moment she started walking, there was a politician that was, okay, how will I put this? I don't want you to be knowing too many things. The place where they were doing this home cell was the house of a very big politician. So that a crippled person walked there was interesting. And they made some calls and pleaded with me to wait. And before I knew it, many politicians that you people know came into that place and wanted to make me their prophet so that I would be praying for them. And that's not what Jesus called me to do. I'm not afraid of that one. No. I politely told them that the Lord Jesus. You are not with me. Now, that's the dream of the average young preacher, that he will be in a place where those kind of people are. And then his financial problems are finished. The people so believed in me when they saw that cripple walk, and they wanted to monetize the investment of God upon my life. And I preached Jesus to them in a skillful way. It's not only through bad things that Satan gets to entangle people. If you have a desire locked up in your heart that is not yet surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, that desire will become the anchor point for the devil to change your tunnel. Suddenly, you see me now running around with politicians. That's called changing of channel. He has found the frequency of your lust, and he was able to obtain a remote control that can begin to manipulate it. If you want to escape and you want to serve God, then somebody will come and drop 500 million. Then you go ahead. That one will preoccupy you for 3 years. Take you to a place in Maitama and say, look from here anything your eyes sees and you desire. Then you begin to walk. You will be calling the walk of Abraham. But that walk is a walk of darkness. There's no name for it in the Bible. And then you are moving like that. Come up. Looking away unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And the texture of your experience is going to be consistent with the way he authored our salvation. And the way he's going to finish your race is the same way he authored our salvation. Hallelujah. You see, he's coming now. Because I say the truth. I say the truth, so he's coming. Give me volume. He's coming. And he has shown me signs in recent times that he's going to hold our hand. This is our feeble hand. He will hold it. And he will use it to conquer kingdoms. The power that is resident in the kingdom of God will never be made available to someone who is not living for Jesus. There are many of you that God will push you into great wealth in the next few years. And what he's doing now is taking you through a process so that when you come into that level of stewardship, amen, you will be able to handle it. People are already receiving grace.
3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, you begin to see people walk into things, enter into things. I pray that the devil will not be able to manipulate you out of this great exodus. It's a movement of God. It's a movement of God. And the Lord will empower us to touch people that we may never meet physically through social media. Some strange impact will be wrought. Strange dimensions of grace will be released. Oh my God. I'm sensing the healing anointing. There's somebody that is receiving the healing anointing as I speak. He's receiving it. It's an impartation. 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 Oh, there are two angels that are in this room. Two angels. One of them is carrying a vial of oil and is anointing. It's anointing. It's anointing people. It's anointing people. It's anointing people. You want to be a prince of power? You want to be a man that God will use to establish his stake in the territory? Don't run away from the path. Remain there. There was suffering involved in the salvation that he procured for us. It's an honor to suffer in his name. To suffer because he sent us. I imagine that day when Jesus stood by the tomb of Lazarus. It was a day of manifestation. It was a day of victory for the kingdom of God. Never a man was ever raised from the dead that had died for 4 days. Woo! There is a dimension of authority that goes beyond science. It goes beyond what the mind of mortal man can handle. If you stay on course, you will become God's giant. You will become God's woman. You will become God's man. I will not leave the path that he has domiciled me. Even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Milagros que tominda. Apelis, aves compadua, escamenche la mantelo, o que bila momo saquila, maradasi, maradasi, o velamina canteli. Power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength. For even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Oh my God. Seminto kebosima. Seminto siko presko fila bakatale ayando mila kesko meka boboria mamaya. Oh, oh.
Jesus Christ. He brings a visitation. He brings a visitation this season to those that have waited patiently for him. They have refused to change their job description. They have refused to change the assignment that he gave them. He comes to bring ventilation. He comes to bring strength. Scatella, Baracan Pesco Fila. Zebrisco Fila Mante. Can we pray together for 5 minutes in the spirit? Because that which is dead, it will come back to life again. It will come back to life again. Semino cumbre satala. I can panic. I can subinanteco. Brasa tababo kataide.
For the Lord today, He makes you strong, and nations shall be given unto you, for you have been faithful in little. The Lord shall make you worthy over much. May He cause the light of His countenance to shine upon you and grant you great grace. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Nations shall be given unto you. He makes you warden over nations. So His hand comes strong upon you to establish His counsel. You shall not be small.
grace upon grace. You shall experience waves of grace. Oh, for by your hand the mighty of darkness will fall. Territories that have been locked up will be open to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you have been faithful in little. He makes you worthy in overmuch. So arise, shine. For the light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gentiles, they shall come into thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. There's an anointing upon my hand, and the Lord will begin to release it over the lives of men. The Lord is pleased, and this will be manifested by the sign of the anointing. His hand will begin to come. Those whose hearts have been consistent, He will empower you tonight. He will release grace upon you. He will release grace upon you. It will come so mightily. 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 So there's one among you that he has chosen, and his hand will come upon you mightily. In the next 15 seconds, in 15 seconds, his hand will descend upon you. It's one among you. His hand will come upon you. It will come so strong because he's releasing you. He's releasing you into another dimension. The grace of God comes upon your life. Those of you in the choir, I'm seeing two lights, so there are two of you. The Lord wants to upgrade you, he wants to increase your capacity. So his hand will come. His hand will come upon you. His spirit will come upon you. It will come with force. It will come with fire. It will come with fire. It will come with a flame. It will come with force from heaven. God is pleased. He's pleased. And the wind of the Spirit of God, it begins to rise. It begins to rise upon you. His hand comes upon your life so strong tonight. That which has been concealed, it will be open. That which has been hidden, it shall be brought forth to light. Somebody in our midst has been laboring, but you have not been seen. You have been faithful under cover. The Lord wants to bring you to light. And in the next 21 seconds, the anointing of the Spirit will hit you. Anywhere you are, inside on the overflow, yes, the Spirit of God will search you out. He will search you out from the congregation, and His hand will be mighty over your life. From the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, on my left hand side and on my right hand side, those ones that you have ordained to pass through this door, oh, locate them, locate them, locate them, locate them, locate them, locate them, locate them. feel the touch of the angel of the Lord. I feel the touch of the angel of the Lord. There is somebody here in this meeting. God has sent an angel to you. And you will be clothed with fire. You will be clothed with fire. At the count of 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A new thing is coming into this nation. A new thing is coming on the continent. A new set of men. A new set of functionaries. People that are not in need because of anything they can gain. They are in genuine service to Jesus Christ. And the hand of God will be powerful on them. There are 8 ladies in the congregation. 8 ladies. The Lord will give you fire. It will give you fire. He will give you fire to strengthen you, to fortify you. Fire comes upon 8 ladies. Fire comes upon 8 ladies right now. It comes upon them. 1, 2. It comes upon, oh my God. It comes up mightily. It comes up mightily. It comes up mightily. For anyone that has a yoke of the devil, today we bring you under the influence of the power of God. Yes, anything that has been resisted in your life, is it conception? Is it promotion? Is it advancement? Today we wage war over the chains of the devil. We wage war over the activities of the wicked one. We wage war. We wage war. The chains will break in a few moments. The chains will break. So Satan, hear my voice. Release your captives. Release your captives. I command the yoke break. Break. For those of you in the overflow, the hand of God comes to break every yoke on your life. Silamoke barakuske taminaya. Saikombe sakuta bakalantelia. Esose la kaburakunde. He comes to do a work on your life. He comes to do a work. He comes to do a work on your life. In the name of Jesus. Hey. Hey. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, because of time, I'll pray. I'll just give a command. And God will begin to touch people's bodies. Ah, Jesus. I'll give a command and God will begin to touch the bodies of men and women. To bring healing. To break curses and to release people into destiny. The hand of God will be on you. I see someone, an evangelist, you are called to the southwestern part of Nigeria. You are not even called into the urban centers, but you will have authority to regulate the activity of evil men within the southwestern region. The hand of God will come on you now.
And it will come so strong because God wants to start with you. God wants to begin something significant with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, this evangelist that will be so knowledgeable on how to untangle the bondages that have come over the lives of men, specifically in the region of the southeastern part of Nigeria, southwestern part of Nigeria. Can you touch that person? Can you touch that individual? Can you release grace upon that life? Can you release that person? Can you release that person with your anointing? Can you release the person with an ordination, an impartation? Can you release grace? Can you release grace? Can you release grace? Grace on your life in the name of Jesus. You will just wake up and discover that what you've been praying about for so long, God has given you. If you brought anyone here that is sick, if there's anybody sick at all, any kind of ailment, disease, affliction, eye conditions, arthritis, lumps, situations with the heart, lungs, the kidney, the liver, the Lord will bring cure to you tonight in the name of Jesus. So put your hand where that affliction is for a moment of time. The Lord said, I should tell someone, I have remembered you. Thank you, Father. Put your hand where the pain is. And I'll just pray in a moment. Then I'll bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We thank you for your faithfulness. Bearing us up on your arms through the course of these 7 years. We give you glory. We give you praise. Now I ask, O God, that you stretch forth your hand over every pain, every sickness, every disease, including such cases that the doctors have concluded that is medically impossible to handle. Stretch forth your hand and touch the bodies of your people. Take the pain away. Take the growth away. Take the sickness away. Anything that is related to the blood, I ask, oh God, that you touch the blood. Touch the blood. Touch the blood. Touch the blood. Our organs failing, let there be new organs in the name of Jesus. Is it that the womb has not carried any child? Can you touch that womb, Lord? Can you touch that womb this night in the name of Jesus Christ? migraines, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Pain, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Blinding spirits, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Deafening spirits, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Growths, I curse you. Dry up in the name of Jesus. Cancers, I curse you. Fibroids, I curse you. Die in Jesus' name. Pains on the spinal cord, back pains and all kinds of back issues, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Those ones that have been kept in bondage and the chains are still present, I command those chains break in the name of Jesus. And so I command the eyes. I see. Yeah. Here. Pain go. Pain go. Every symptom of arthritis, I shut you down right now. Receive strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone's womb, fire will come on someone's womb and it will open. You will feel, you will almost feel the heat of the fire coming on your womb. You will almost feel the heat of the fire coming on that womb. And the womb will be open. Yes, you will feel the heat of the fire and the womb will be open in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Now someone needs to check his eyes because you are healed. You can remove your hand and check your body. Someone needs to check the eyes because you are healed. That's the only... Yeah, okay, not the only. Check your body. You have 2 minutes to do the check. If you confirm that there's a change, you stand there. Now, I need to do something quickly. I need to bless. You check and you notice there's a change, and I'm also talking to people in the overflow. There is an eye that has been healed. That is what I'm waiting for. If I see that person, then I'll sit down. Great. grace upon your life. Grace. Now, come. Come. No. Continue doing what you are doing. Ask God for one anything, but just one. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I plead that you grant our request. I'm still waiting for the person that is healed. I'm not someone's eye has been corrected. So I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Someone's eye has been corrected. Someone's eye has been corrected. If you believe, you can receive what I have for you. All you need to do is just your right hand, just, and then open your heart. It will come on you. I don't want to go with it. It will come on you. It will come on you. Once your heart is open, once your heart is open, it will come on you. 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 Okay, you have something to say.
Papa,
don't come too close.
When you talked about someone being healed by he has glaucoma, I was diagnosed of
glaucoma. Okay.
And
on your eyes. Okay. What's wrong with your microphone?
Praise God.
Okay.
I have. Sometimes I choose another pain than the pain of eyes. When I see people wear glasses, it's not for fun. But last night in my dream, I had two programs happening today that I had wanted to go to, which I wouldn't mention. But I saw Papa in my dream and he said, I know you want to, but come here. I have something for you. And, you know, in a nutshell, I'm looking at the screen there and I'm not seeing the faces. Most times when I look, it has to appear three or four, you know. And for the first time, I read the advert on the whatever, which if you put anything there, I can tell you I can read it clearly with my eyes, which has never happened.
Can somebody celebrate the Lord Jesus? I knew that there was someone with an eye issue that the Lord has sent me to meet. So it's God's will for us to meet. So when he recovers, we will now talk, we'll now meet properly. Hallelujah.
Can see now.
Can you allow her to talk?
I've had the eye issue since last year, ending of last year.
Where's we? Okay, take his details, we'll talk to you later, okay? It's God's will for us to meet. And I know that in the spirit, okay? So, go on.
I've had the eye issue since last year. And then so I went to Lutz to get glasses. And so I got the glasses. But anytime someone prays for me, it will go, it will come back. So sometimes it is short-sightedness, sometimes it is long-sightedness. So it will go, it will come, it will go, it will come, it will go, it will come. Now it has gone.
It has gone now. Okay, so we will do something to ensure that it will not come back. Okay? Can we do something? Now, a current. Oh, Mahaise. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this darkness pass forever. Let it never return in the name of Jesus. Okay, it won't come back again.
She's been having eyes issues since she's 18.
Wait. You see? The Lord is shaking somebody. He's shaking somebody. So, and very soon I need to know the person. The hand of God will come on the person the Lord is shaking. Father, in the name of Jesus, can you show? Okay, bring that lady. Bring her. He's shaking. Just bring them. The Lord is doing something. The Lord is doing something. He's doing something. He's doing something. He's doing something. He's working out something. There are things he's working out at the moment. He's working them out. The power of his hand is working out something. He's working something out. He's working something out there. He's working something out. He's working it out. He's working it out. It is him by himself. It's him by himself. It's him by himself. It's him by himself. It's him by himself. He's walking. Walking something. He's walking. Yes. You will never remain the same again. And so the hand of the devil that is on your life, it breaks. It breaks. Okay. Alright. Put this on her forehead. He's working something. He's working something. He's working something. He's working something. The things that were used to change some people, those things are beginning to lose their power. It's breaking. It's breaking. It's breaking. It's breaking. Now where is the okay? Oh, she got healed too. But the Lord is working something in you. He's working something. He's working something. Yeah, he's bringing you out of a certain bondage. A certain bondage. He's bringing you out of it right now. He's breaking the yoke that you have carried. He's loosening you. Where is the overflow? 1 minute, I'm coming. It's your day.
Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. We are going to the overflow.
Okay.
So break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.